This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. We have Jessica Nava on the line, and she is the Chief Growth Officer over at the Moxie Exchange, which is home of the Everyday Inclusion app. And I'm happy and proud to announce that Jessica will also be a new author in one of our upcoming business leaders books. So we got a whole lot to talk about today, but I'll just first start off by saying, hey, Jess, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to have the conversation.
All right. So we have some big topics to tackle today. Of course, I want to get into the Moxie Exchange and the Everyday Inclusion app. And then our overall topic, really diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace. Big topic in the media that I don't feel like gets enough attention. So I'm happy to shed some light on your experience as well in the space. But before we do all that, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all with our Mission Matters Minute. So Jess, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Jess, what mission matters to you?
I absolutely love this. My leadership motto is ensuring that every voice is heard, including my own, which really weaves into what I'm doing personally and professionally. And it's about making sure that not only do we have representation, but we allow people to feel comfortable, confident, stepping up into their power, becoming leaders, and really doing what matters to them most. I think for so many years of my career, I sat back and watched other people lead and do things that I really wanted to do because I didn't see women stepping into their power. Mm-hmm. And so finally, I found the opportunity to find my confidence, to find my voice. And that's what I'm doing in the diversity, equity, and inclusion space.
Yeah. It's great. And I love bringing mission-based individuals and executives on the line to share, you know, why they do what they do, how they do it, and really what we can all learn and gain from that so that we can all grow together. So the whole point of the Mission Matters platform is for us all to grow together. So great having you on. And just to get us kicked off here, maybe let's go a little bit, you know, kind of further back into your career. Like how did you get involved and or, you know, interested in this space of working on first off growth, and then obviously the diversity side of things? Like, how did that, was it a moment? Was it a progression? Like, how did all that transpire?
Yeah, I love it. So I've spent 23 years in my career. I graduated from Drexel University in 2000 and went right into sales. I fell in love with business development. I had been an athlete, a competitive athlete when I was younger. I played two Division I sports.
That's so, where it comes from. I know you're competitive.
Right. And so I absolutely loved being in sales. I loved hearing about other people's stories and what made them successful as business owners, similar to honestly what you're doing here in your podcast. Yeah. And so I worked my way up into enterprise sales, working with large organizations, and ended up at a company called Qualtrics, which is a software platform, a survey platform based in Utah. Global company that had just gone through an IPO, an initial public offering. And I ended up being the first and only female sales leader in their Provo, Utah office. And so for an entire year, I was the only. Mm-hmm. Now, Adam, I was used to being the only in the room, but this was like the only on steroids.
Yeah.
And so Utah's a pretty not diverse state, right? And I think people in that state would recognize that. And so I was asked to step into a leadership position for our women's employee resource group. So a lot of these ERGs, business resource groups, associate resource groups exist in companies to really amplify the voices of their marginalized community members. And so I was kind of a unicorn in tech, right? So being a woman in tech in sales leadership, there's not many of us. And so the organization knew that we needed to get a female leader's voice in place to help other sales executives believe that they could become sales leaders. So that's where I really found my voice for DEI. And I remember launching Mosaic, which was our employee resource group for our employees of color. And I had an aha moment. My husband's Filipino, and I have three amazing kiddos who are biracial. And I remember thinking, Jess, this is your time to do something more, not about just you, but for your kids. And so I got super active, really just hungering for knowledge, continuing to learn, grow, and be a better advocate and ally for my kids and my husband, but then really utilizing that for corporate America. It wasn't long thereafter that everything happened in 2020 with the reckoning on George Floyd. And I had the opportunity to reconnect with the CEO of the Moxie Exchange, Maureen, or she goes by Mo, Berkner Boyd, who I've known for about 13 years. And she had just launched about 5 years ago, Everyday Inclusion, which is our diversity, equity, and inclusion tech app. And I fell in love. I mean, I fell head over heels for the solution because there's nothing like it on the market. And so made that big decision to go lead growth for a much smaller company. And I'm super happy to be here. I'm excited about the opportunity and what we're bringing to market.
Yeah, I think it's an amazing story. And before we get into the Everyday Inclusion app, I do want to maybe spend a little bit more time on those early days. So you mentioned having the leaders at the company you were with prior realizing that, you know, a woman, there needs to be woman representation and to have, you know, a voice or a seat at the table, right? To help other lead and inspire and create and to, you know, to help others in the company as well as attract new talent, I'm guessing. Can you maybe talk about the importance of this? Because I feel like there's other leaders out there that have maybe been considering making some, you know, very specific strategic moves like that. And maybe they just haven't quite done it yet or gotten around to it or for whatever reason. But can you just maybe talk about through your experience kind of the importance of that and maybe some of the outcome?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things to recognize as a leader is that you can only change what you're measuring. And so a lot of organizations have started to evaluate, how are we doing with our percentage of women, our marginalized employees, how many people of color do we have on staff? And so that's the first and most important step. Where do we stand today? And where do we want to be when it comes to representation in our organization? I think the reason, Adam, I struggled for so many years in my career was because I never worked for a woman, right? I didn't see female sales leaders in our organization. And so subconsciously, I don't think that I knew that I could do it, right? There was that seed of doubt that was planted, and I wasn't even aware that it was there. And so it's really important for us across, especially organizations like sales, engineering, where it's really, really difficult to help promote women because that pool of talent is so small. Now, that's not the company's challenge. That starts way downstream. We're talking like middle school, right? Where girls and marginalized folks are steered away from that because they're the only in the room. So this is a lot more than just a corporate America problem. It's a society issue that we need to overcome together. Right. That's why it's important we support organizations like Girls in Tech and Girls Who Code to help bring up that pool. But to your question specifically, what can leaders do? You can be really intentional and you can admit where you're struggling. I think the worst thing that companies can do is lie about how they're doing when it comes to the representation and diversity in their organizations. The last thing you want to have happen is to tout you've got this amazing diversity, equity, and inclusion mission statement as a company. And then the employee starts there and they realize it was all a facade. It was just food, right? You're going to lose talent more quickly and more importantly, damage your brand as leaders and executives. So admit and be honest, and then look for support. There are so many amazing organizations that you can work with. consulting organizations that can come in and help you really develop what that strategy is. But I think it's being comfortable in the things that we're struggling with. Nobody's perfect at this, right? There is a lot of blame and shame in this topic. So just being vulnerable and transparent, as Brené Brown says.
Yeah. And so the Everyday Inclusion app, I think that's a good transition here, but I do need to spend a little bit more time on the story. Like, how did Mo get you? Like, I know of Mo and I know she's wonderful and I know some of the backstory, but how'd she get you? Come on.
I love it. It's so funny, right? She was planting the seeds for years, right? So I brought Mo in to speak at our annual DEI conference. And after, she has a podcast, it's called Everyday Inclusion Live. She planted the seed and had me come in and speak on her podcast. So that was step number one. And then after that, right, it was just this kind of, let's have like a monthly conversation and see how you're doing. And I really appreciated her mentorship as a female executive and needed that in my life. So, you know, she would kind of just throw it out there. You should join the Moxie Exchange. Have you ever thought about leading growth for a company? And so finally we had, as a family, moved back from Utah to New York. And she was like, Jess, now's the time. And I was like, you're right, Mo. Now is the time. Let's go.
So it was her magnetism. And by the way, for any of the, you know, HR or corporate leaders out there that I tell all the time, podcasting works. I mean, it starts with bring that executive on the show and, you know, start building that relationship and continue to build it. Look at that.
Exactly.
And quick plug to Mo as well. And the podcast you brought up, I believe, I mean, long time running podcast. I think you're going on 100 episodes. Am I off on this or?
No, you're right. We're just about to have our 100th episode.
So that's huge. And I got a sidebar here for a moment. And I mean, just tell us a little bit more about the show, because I definitely want my audience to go check it out as well.
Yeah. So Everyday Inclusion Live is really to amplify the work of people in the diversity, equity, and inclusion space. We have folks from academia, higher ed. We just had someone on from Howard University, Erin McInerney. We've got company chief diversity officers, those that are doing the work, those that are focused on funding, legislative, education, all of those core components to really move the needle forward in DEI in our communities.
Yeah, that's exciting. And what kind of, so I get the focus, but is it interviews? Is it kind of roundtables? Like how is the content delivered?
Yeah, great question. So it's both. Most of the conversations are one-on-one. So Maureen, Mo will do one-on-one conversations and we'll talk about what that person is most passionate about, right? Typically three questions. And we're really just amplifying what they want to talk about, what's most important, or what they're trying to do to move the needle in the space. We've done some panel conversations. We just actually launched our inclusive selling module within the app. And so we brought on a couple of amazing chief revenue officers, consultants, and an enterprise sales rep to talk about what does inclusion look like in the sales organization? What does it need to look like in the future?
And let's spend some time actually on the app while we're at it, because probably our listeners and viewers are like, okay, they keep on bringing up this Everyday Inclusion app. What is it? Like the name kind of gives it away, but maybe let's go a little bit further and just give the audience a little bit of the background on the Moxie Exchange and the app as well.
Yeah. So the Moxie Exchange has existed now for over 13 years. Mm-hmm. We started out as a women's peer advisory group before that existed for women. And so Mo's always been cutting edge. I will say that. And the app is cutting edge. No one in the market has anything like what we do today. So she continued to evolve and grow. The women were coming back. I was one of those women, by the way. I was one of her first members. So that's how I've known her for so long. The women were coming back and saying, Mo, we are leaning in so far that we're falling over. The system is broken. And so she continued to pivot and evolve. She then developed unconscious bias training, put an online portal together for companies to then do learning and development training in their organizations. Mm-hmm. About 5 years ago, she came out of a conference and everybody's faces were buried in their phones. We had that like light bulb moment, right? Where she was like, that's it. I need to create an app. Mm-hmm. Now, a woman with an org dev background, right? She is not a tech person. She'll tell you this herself. Mm-hmm. And so now here she is, an accidental tech CEO.
Yeah.
The neuroscience, the important thing about this is it's a really simple solution with the sophistication of neuroscience behind it. Mm. So people on average check their phones about 96 times a day. That's overwhelming. Yeah. But what we're doing is we're breaking into an existing habit loop. So we send a quick nudge to your phone. I do mine at 8:30 in the morning with a cup of coffee. Mm. And the nudge is anywhere from 30 seconds to 3 minutes. And I'm watching quick videos, interviews, stories, seeing biographies, learning a definition of a term maybe that I'm unfamiliar with. Mm. And what we do is we build this foundation of knowledge and resources for folks, creating psychological safety in the workplace.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, I was going to say the fun part of the app is we've built in a ton of gamification. So there's badges that can be earned. There's confetti that drops, dopamine hits, really to kind of keep you going through your journey.
Yeah.
But then the most important part, and I think this is where executive teams and boards of directors are really pushing back on chief diversity officers right now, is saying we need data, right? Mm-hmm. We need to know how this is measurably being improved. And so on the back end, we provide a really comprehensive, sophisticated data dashboard. Hmm. Wow. Like we can literally see the impact of the actions and predictively have data for leaders to know what they need to do next.
Yeah. And one distinction I want to make here, just so that everybody's aware, and as we started out this conversation as well, is that this is a B2B solution, right? So meaning like companies can get this app for their entire workforce. Am I off on this or?
No, you're 100% right. Today, we work with organizations like Ford, Nestle Purina, the Mayo Clinic. We're just about launching a pilot with Fidelity. So massive organizations that think of employees who are untethered to their computers, right? So they're on a manufacturing shop floor, a call center, right? Mm-hmm. How do we get to all of those employees? We find that we have a lot of success in that space.
Yeah. And so you mentioned the dashboard. I do want to circle back to that because leaders love dashboards because like you said, you can't improve what you can't measure, right? So like, how have you seen maybe some of that data being used in, well, we know how it's gathered right through the app, but how have you seen leaders taking that data and then, you know, making decisions based off of it? Like, can you give an example or just some ideas around that?
Yeah. So we have what we call our quarterly rhythm of inclusion. Mm. And so at the end of the quarter, after you've gotten all of these amazing nudges, we're going to then take a pulse, a really quick pulse with four questions. I feel like I'm included and belong on my team, by my manager, at the company, and I feel like I make others feel included and belong. Mm. And so what we do with that emoji-based response is we look by region, by business unit, by function. How are those teams doing with driving inclusion and belonging at their organizations? And so we see leaders coming back and coaching based on that, right? If a region is really struggling and they've got a bunch of red, frowny faces, then we've got some coaching to do. Mm-hmm. Better yet, if we've got a region that's got a bunch of green, smiley faces, let's amplify the work that they're doing. Let's get them on an all hands call and talk about what they're doing on their team, because clearly they're doing something right to drive a positive culture.
Yeah. And you mentioned some, you know, some pretty large companies like Ford, right? Mayo Clinic. I mean, big, large organizations. So is this primarily an enterprise solution or kind of what's the range of maybe workforce that it would be appropriate for?
Yeah, great question. 50% of our customers are enterprise organizations. Mm-hmm. 50% are smaller businesses with less than 100 employees. And so we kind of liken the tool to a Swiss Army knife. Mm-hmm. There's 100 different ways that you can use the tool. So maybe an organization doesn't have a chief diversity officer. Maybe they don't even have a DEI mission or strategy in place yet. This is a great foundation to start building your program. Right. And then for those enterprise organizations, this becomes one of their tools that they use to train the company.
And so when you think about, like, you know, the business case for this, because I feel like a lot of individuals, you know, have long wanted to or have thought about it, like it's the right thing to do. Great. But now I feel like the DE&I space just in general, as more things are being measured and as we have things like, you know, a competition for good talent, we have a great resignation, we have like all these other things going on with retention, like we're measuring that, like what does it cost to have this turnover? I feel like just the business case for this it just keeps on getting more and more evident as we kind of go along. Am I off on that or?
No, you're right. It's a business imperative. Mm-hmm. Gone are the days where, right, the employer creates the culture. We need to help create that culture within our organizations, mm-hmm. right? Literally 80% of the culture is created by those frontline leaders. And so what we want to do is we want to empower them to create these positive cultures for recruiting, for retention. There are so many logos that we can think of, names of companies who have really struggled in this space. And the cost is, it's immeasurable, right? Having an employee, an EEOC claim, right? An equal opportunity lawsuit. It could damage your brand forever. Not to mention the fact that it could cost your organizations millions and millions of dollars. And I think what's really interesting is we see this next generation come up. This matters to them more than the, you know, the free lunches and the right, the games and the break room, like
the ping pong ball solves everything, right? No.
Right. I want to belong to a culture where I feel like I make a difference.
So how can men be part of this equation? And like, how do we activate allies? Like, how does that part of it work?
Yeah. So we can't make these decisions in a vacuum, right? Mm-hmm. We need everyone at the table. And so when you think of corporate America, 75% of the leaders are typically white men. And so we need them as leaders, decision makers. By the way, almost all of them are fathers, husbands, right? So, I mean, this is not a woman problem or a marginalized employee problem. Mm-hmm. This is a society issue that we need to overcome. And so I actively talk to men to try to engage them in this conversation. And I think their biggest fear is saying or doing something wrong, right? No one wants to look foolish. They don't want to make mistakes. And so how do we create an environment of trust and of transparency? It's really scary. So I think throughout my whole career, I've done a pretty good job of pulling men along. We all need to make that decision collectively to work together. Otherwise, we're never going to solve it.
Yeah. And I feel like what you said, where, you know, men don't always want to make that mistake or look bad or say something, like, because there is a risk, right? Especially for senior level executives that maybe aren't used to having a certain type of conversation and maybe they haven't been coached that way. And it could be generational. I mean, a lot of different things that come into play. But I feel like just where we're at, like that can no longer be an excuse. Like we have to push forward. We have to continue to get better at this and also to really encourage by doing things like the Everyday Inclusion app, like the Moxie Exchange, by supporting organizations and bringing on tools from those that just like in consulting or other parts of our business. This is exactly the same thing. It's just in maybe an area that not all people are, you know, up to date on, right? So just like if you're manufacturing, and you need to bring a consultant, same thing is the way I see it, if we start taking it that way. But to me, it's so much more important because it is dealing with the most important product, the most important part of your company and or business, which is the people, right?
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, I think what's really interesting is you start to work in this space and you actively work on it. One of the most important things is having an open feedback loop, right? So if someone does make a mistake, having the confidence to say, I really appreciate you trying, maybe that wasn't the best thing to say or the best way to respond. Right. And so the responsibility falls on both people, those that are stepping out and making that effort and those that know more about the space as well.
Yeah. Well, Jessica, I do want to spend just a minute or two on the book that we'll be doing together. Just for everybody watching this, just so you know, of course, Jessica, we will be bringing Jess back on the show to do a full interview on the book when it's actually live. So today's just a little bit of teaser, introducing Jess to the community, of course, and of course, learning about the Moxie Exchange and the Everyday Inclusion app. But Jess, just keeping it kind of high level, what are some of the things you hope to propose in the upcoming book?
Yeah, well, I'm so excited about the chapter and the book. I've been writing a book for a decade, and it's about my belief in feminism. And I don't mean feminism of the 60s. I mean, feminism of 2023. And what does it look like in the future? And to the question that you asked, right, how do we get allies engaged? That's really my whole mission and purpose in life, is to bring everyone into the conversation. Hmm. And so really excited to explore people's stories, right? Mm-hmm. How have they experienced, whether we're looking at Ruth Bader Ginsburg, or we're looking at, I mean, there's a plethora of individuals that I'm going to be interviewing for my full-time book. And I do a teaser of that in this chapter. My goal is really to inspire those to create action. It's about making one small step. It's not about the end goal or where we need to be, because the reality is, I don't think I'm going to see it in my lifetime, right? We've got so much work to do to get to a fair and equitable corporate America. So my challenge is one small step. What can we do daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly to make a more inclusive workplace?
Well said, and I'm going to cut you off there because I have so many more things I want to say, but we're not. This is what we call a teaser for everybody watching. We will be bringing Jess back on when the book's actually out and live. Well, Jess, I just have to say, really, it has been a pleasure having you on the show, getting to know more about you, your background, how Mo snagged you with use the old podcast technique and brought you on the show. And of course, in all sincerity, built a real relationship with you that where you felt comfortable and where you wanted to support the mission, which I think is awesome. That being said, I mean, I just have to ask, you got a lot going on. Book, Everyday Inclusion app, Moxie Exchange, you're writing another book, which I can't wait to see as that develops further as well. But what's next? I mean, what's next for you? What's next for your career?
Yeah, thank you. We want to take the app global, right? We literally want to see Everyday Inclusion in 10 million hands. And so I'm building a partner ecosystem, working with some of the best consulting companies throughout the world. That's what's next at the Moxie Exchange. There's a lot of product development that's happening in the app. You mentioned my book. I've got to get that book out. I'm committing to all of you today that I'm going to launch that next year. Yes. That's going to be published and out there. Yeah. And then I really want to start to give back to younger individuals in the community. So I've become a big sister. I've gotten engaged in our local Kiwanis organization again, because I really believe that we owe it to the next generation to help support them and bring them into the future.
Amazing. And if people are watching this or listening to this and they want to learn more about the Everyday Inclusion app, I know a lot of business leaders and entrepreneurs that watch this and may want to learn about, you know, what it takes to bring it to their organization. What's the best way for people to follow up?
Yeah. So we do demos of Everyday Inclusion. So you can go on our website and check it out. Connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm building a massive network of inclusion champions, as we like to call it, the Moxie Exchange. So we really, I do demos with people throughout all of their organizations that want to be champions or allies. And then maybe they bring it to their chief diversity officer or their chief human resources officer. So I'm really open to having conversations with anybody about the app. I think you'll be blown away by it.
Ah, that's amazing. And if people want to listen to Everyday Inclusions Live, which is going on its 100th episode, how do people connect with that?
Absolutely. So we're on Instagram. We're on LinkedIn, the Moxie Exchange. You can follow us and then you'll get a notification that we're going live. And we're also looking for guests. Adam, I hope you're going to be one of our guests soon.
Oh, you know I'm in. I'm always in. Okay, let's go. You just tell me I'm there.
Okay, great.
Fantastic. And by the way, we'll put all the links and all the information in the show notes so that our audience can just click on the links and head right on over. And I definitely want you to go check out the app and connect and have your organization connect with Mo and Jess and their team. And then, of course, check out their show. I mean, you'll be blown away. So again, going on 100 episodes. And we'll have links to all that in the show notes. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging in an episode, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission, really what gets them motivated to go out into the world and to make a difference. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or exciting to you, we welcome you. Hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Jess, really, it has been a pleasure. Can't wait till we get to do this again when the book is out and live.
Me too. Thank you.